It's your Radio Theater Channel weekly podcast for download. The RTC for 20 great years has the best OTR on our live streaming. And continue tuning in to the Radio Book Channel, along with the RTC Music Channel, all at oldtimeradiolisten.com.
Welcome to this week's edition of the RTC Weekly Download. Well, today we have a selection of comedies, three in fact, and they all have one thing in common. They all start with the letter M, and that's probably all they have in common. We're going to have Martin and Lewis, we're going to have Mel Blanc, and The Adventures of Maisie. We'll start off with Mel Blanc, and you recall he's a voice, the man of a million voices, I believe, and worked on the Jack Benny Show and all those cartoons. Well, he had a radio show of his own in 1947. And this is The Foreign Relative from 1947.
Colgate Tooth Powder presents The Mel Blanc Show, written by Mac Benoff, with Mary Jane Croft, Joe Kearns, Lance Conried, Alan Reed, the sportsman, Victor Miller and his orchestra, and starring the creator of the voice of Bugs Bunny.
What's up, Doc?
Yes, Colgate Tooth Powder, for a breath that's sweet and teeth that sparkle, brings you The Mel Blanc Show, with Mel playing his new character, Zookie.
Hello, everybody. Hello, everybody. Hi.
And starring himself in person, Mel Blanc.
Hiya, folks.
Conclusive proof that a young swain has fallen in love with his lady fair is when he begins to see in her the close features of his family. For instance, in the little town where Mel Blanc lives, we hear Henry Adams saying to his girlfriend Susan,
"Gosh, Susan, you're awfully pretty. You look just like my sister."
And in another part of town, Roy Davis is saying to his girl,
"You know, Shirley, you're lovely. You look just as my mother did when she was your age."
And in the Colby house, where Mel Blanc is sitting with his girlfriend Betty, Mel is saying,
"Gosh, Betty, you're very pretty. You look just like my uncle."
Last week, Mel, in an attempt to save the Colby family from eviction, pretended he was a Viennese doctor. However, the plan didn't work, and now we find Mel and Betty in Mel's fix-it shop talking about the incident.
Gosh, everything was going fine, too.
Until the other doctor asked you where you studied.
Yeah, and all I could think of was Prenuvite and Fluten Gluten Salzburg.
If only you hadn't said Prenuvite and Fluten Gluten Salzburg.
Can you imagine that guy never heard of a place called Salzburg? Oh, by the way, Betty, I got a circular in the mail that your father might be interested in. Here it is.
Oh, prefabricated housing. What does it say?
Buy the Cracker Jack prefabricated house. Small, inconvenient, and poorly constructed. This is the ideal type of housing for veterans.
It's all right for you to joke, but Father and I'll be living out in the street if something doesn't happen. Or maybe even a cellar.
Oh, that's wonderful.
That's wonderful, living in a cellar?
Sure, your father's always throwing me down the steps. Now let's see him try and throw me up.
Mel, stop talking like that. You know, Father's beginning to like you. Why, just last night I heard him say, "Mel, you can hang around the house all you want to."
Yeah, but you didn't see him pointing to the rafter. Speaking of the... here comes your father now.
Oh, hello, Betty.
Hello, Father.
Mel Blanc, you idiot.
Hello, Mr. Colby.
I gave you a cash register to fix for my supermarket, and what did you do?
Oh, I meant to ask you, Mr. Colby. I'm missing a few parts from an old slot machine.
I know that, you nincompoop. This morning my cashier tried to ring up $1.20.
Well, what happened?
He got three cherries straight across.
Gee, that's too bad.
That's terrible. The next customer hit the jackpot. Oh, but I can't be angry today. The bank is giving me a big loan. I'll be able to buy our house and we won't be evicted.
Father, that's wonderful.
Yes, that is. If everything goes well when Banker Grimes comes to the house tonight, I think I can impress Banker Grimes and Betty can make a good impression on him. And you, Mel, can make a good impression, too.
You really think so, Mr. Colby?
Yes, on the sidewalk if you don't stay away from my house.
All right, Mr. Colby, I can take a hint. And I won't... Hey, wait a minute. Banker Grimes is a very social man. He'd be very impressed if you had some rich foreign relatives.
I don't have any rich foreign relatives.
You do now. I'm a good actor. I can do it.
Huh?
I'll be your rich foreign relative.
You mean you...
You want the house?
Well, yes.
Or you want to live in the street?
That's a deal. Well, Mel, that's what I call quick thinking. I'll do anything to get that loan.
Oh, wait a minute. Here comes Professor Pochnik. Oh, hello, Professor Pochnik.
Hello! Hello! Well, if it ain't my four best friends, Mel, Betty, and Mr. Colby.
Professor Pochnik, that's only three.
What am I, an enemy?
Well, we have to go, Professor Pochnik. Nice to have seen you. Come on, Betty. See you at nine, cousin.
Mel, why are you looking so down-faced for? Why?
Oh, I'm always talking out of turn. Professor, I'm afraid I promised Mr. Colby the impossible.
Mal, there is no such word in the dictionary like impossible. Impossible, that's a bad word. Forget it. Could be. That is a word. Que, u, a, la, de, be, a. Could be.
Oh, but this is really impossible.
I just told you there is no such word. You couldn't use it. Don't even think about the impossible. Now, what is the trouble?
Well, I'm going to help Mr. Colby get a loan from Banker Grimes. So I got to make believe I'm some foreign relative who is rich and high class.
That is impossible. However, under Professor Pochnik's dramatic course, the impossible becomes could be. Now, I have two courses of teaching. The first is in 10 easy lessons.
And the other course?
One hard lesson. We try the hard one. Now, first we are impersonating a tough guy. You will listen, wise guy, see? From whom you getting your vodka, from whom, huh? See? Now you do it.
Okay.
Give a listen, wise guy, see? From whom you're getting your vodka, from whom, huh? See? Huh?
That's perfect. Now we try another type, the Western type.
Western?
Yes. Coming here, tax, you all. I'm a reckoning to hanker to fixing up that whole corral. Give a yippee-hi-yay and a home on the gas ray. Take it, Pod. Pod. Mel, that's you. Pod is Western talk for rustler.
Oh, all right.
Coming here, tax you all.
Oh, wait a minute, Professor. This is all American.
Well, frankly, Mel, on farmers, I am not so good. But for you, I am trying. Now, make believe you are a count. The first thing you do is bow from the waist. Bow from the waist. Bow from the waist.
I hope I do all right. Bow from the waist. I can't wait till tonight. A wow from the base. A booster from the waist.
Use Colgate tooth powder, keep smiling just right. Use it each morning and use it each night. Don't take a chance with your romance. Use Colgate tooth powder.
Girls won't go out with a certain chap. A breath of trouble's his handicap. And as so often happens, the victim does not suspect that he has this breath of trouble. I mean, unpleasing breath. Don't let it happen to you. Make it a daily must to do this. Brush your teeth night and morning and before every date with Colgate tooth powder. For Colgate tooth powder cleans your breath as it cleans your teeth. Yes, scientific tests have definitely proved that in 7 cases out of 10, Colgate tooth powder instantly stops unpleasing breath that originates in the mouth. What's more, no dentifrice at any price cleans your teeth more quickly and thoroughly than Colgate tooth powder. Remember to buy it first thing. And remember the name Colgate Tooth Powder with the accent on powder.
Don't take a chance with your romance. Use Colgate Tooth Powder.
Now the sportsman Victor Miller and his orchestra with My Pretty Girl.
My darling, how I love you. Promise me
You will never leave me, promise me.
Promise
you will never grieve me, promise me.
Promise
you will not deceive me, oh, my pretty girl. There's a young lovesick lad so in love with a pretty miss. When his arms hold her charms, he begins to sing words alike a bit.
Oh, my pretty girl, my head's a whirl. You're sweeter than molasses.
Oh, you flatter me, but can't you see you should be wearing glad bears?
Love is blind, but you hold me fine, dear. Words that will make you mine, dear.
Open the door, Richard!
Promise me you will never leave me. Promise me you will never grieve me. Promise me you will not deceive me. You're my pretty girl.
Mel Blanc again. To help Mr. Colby obtain a loan, Mel has promised to impersonate some rich foreign relatives, thereby hoping to impress Banker Grimes. Mel has left the fix-it shop to get the costumes he'll need. Meanwhile, the shop is in charge of his assistant, Zookie, who is now fixing a radio.
Gee, what a big radio. Hmm. It must be at least 9 to 2 inches. 8 to 2 inches. 6 to 2 inches. Crystal said. Oh, gee, it's got an automatic record. It plays one record at a time. Now, let me see.
Zookie, stay away from that radio.
Look, Zookie, help me get into this costume. I got... Uh-oh. It's Mr. Cushing, my lodge president.
Hello, man.
Well, greetings, Mighty Potentate. Ugga, ugga, boo, ugga, boo, boo, ugga. What's the matter, Mighty Potentate? You look like you haven't slept a wink.
Well, Mel, last night I had a terrible nightmare for 4 hours.
And then you woke up?
No, then I went to sleep. My wife turned on the other side. Yeah, the way that woman snores. Sounds like the last dregs of a seltzer bottle. Now I know why Richard won't open that door.
Why don't you try using a clothespin?
I did, Mel, but I couldn't squeeze her neck into that little opening.
Say, how'd you ever come to meet your wife, Mighty Potentate?
Well, I'll tell you, Mel, it was a blind date. I'll never forget the first thing I said when I first saw her.
What was that?
Ah!
I get it. She was a scream, huh? Well, wasn't she insulted when you did that?
Oh, no, no. She'd been out on blind dates before. In fact, with her, a groan was a compliment.
You still didn't have to marry her, did you?
Well, Mel, it was a rebound thing, you see? And I adore you. Gwendolyn, you're my dream girl. Gwendolyn, I'm mad about you. But she left me because of one slight mistake.
What was that?
Her name was Emma. Well, I don't know why I'm standing here telling you all this. She just arrived out of the dog, too.
No, I know just how you feel, Mighty Potentate. If I don't help Mr. Colby impress Banker Grimes tonight, the Colbys may move and I may lose Betty.
Lucky boy.
Well, don't joke, Mr. Cushing. Would you want to be single all your life?
Ha! Well, I've got to be going, Mel. I hope everything turns up all right at the Colby house.
Well, thanks. Where are you going?
Well, I can do one of two things. I can go to the movies and see Duel in the Sun, or I can go home and fight in the shade.
Well, have a good time at the movies. Well, goodbye, Mighty Potentate. Ugga, ugga, boo, ugga, boo, boo, ugga.
So long, Mel. Ugga, ugga, boo, ugga, boo, boo, ugga.
Well, now to get over to the Colby house with these costumes. Gosh, it's going to be quite a job impersonating a bunch of rich foreign relatives.
Well, Betty, everything's going along fine.
Yes, Father, and Mel should be here any minute.
And if he does a good job with that foreign relative stuff, it should cinch the deal.
Oh, leave it to Mel, Father.
Well, Mr. Grimes, did you enjoy the dinner?
Ah, it was delicious.
Of course, you didn't have to go to the trouble of baking a cake and having the icing spell out $8,000. I got the point when the alphabet soup spelled out police.
Now, about the loan, Mr. Grimes. Have a cigar.
Well, now, Mr. Corby, I think the loan will go through.
A cigar? I take the whole box.
Well, there's just one point that we have to clear up.
Well, go on, have a cigar.
But I think we can overcome the point and get your hands up that box. The question I want to ask you, Mr. Corby, is, do you intend to take a trip outside the country?
Why, no. What makes you ask that?
Well, now, we had an unfortunate experience. We made a $10,000 loan to a handkerchief manufacturer. Now, we don't know whether or not it was the nature of the business.
Why, what happened?
In 6 months, he blew.
He blew.
Industry joke. Seems that he had a cousin in Ecuador, and now that's where he absconded. Now, I hope you don't have any relatives outside the country.
No, of course not. Bonsoir, bonsoir, cousin Cole. Got the French dry cleaners. Now, about the loan, Mr. Grimes.
I'll open it this time.
I kiss you on both cheeks.
You stop that.
Oh, excuse me.
What's going on here?
I am Monsieur Colby's cousin.
His cousin?
Oui. Cousin Colby, when are you coming to visit with us? We are dying to see you. Cousin Colby, talk to me. Cousin Colby, stop sharpening that razor.
Pardon me, what part of France are you from?
London.
London is in England.
Madrid?
Madrid is in Spain.
Where is Pomona?
Are you sure that you are a Frenchman?
Oh, you do not believe me. I show you. I roll up my pants leg. Voila, what you see?
A garter.
What it says on the garter?
Paris.
That proves I am a Frenchman.
Well, now, in that case, you'll surely understand what I'm saying. Je ne sais quoi, voulez-vous parlez-vous vous français?
Well, goodbye, Cousin Colby. The boat is leaving.
Now, Mr. Colby, I don't like this. I thought you had no relatives outside the country.
Now, Mr. Grimes, I can explain everything. Please excuse me just a minute. Betty.
Yes, Father?
Betty, we can't tell Mr. Grimes. We've tried to deceive him, but we must stop Mel.
Oh, I'll try, Father.
Is this where Senor Colby lives?
Well,
I have no relatives in South America.
Oh, but Cousin Colby, remember what we made up. I mean, how our family's made up.
Pardon me, are you one of Mr. Colby's South American relatives?
Sí, I am a very rich bullfighter. I remember the last fight. We are in the middle of the arena. I look at the bull look at me. I look at the bull look at me. I look at the bull look at me. You want to know something? The bull is better looking than me.
What part of South America are you from?
Colombia.
What part of Colombia?
Eastern Colombia.
Whereabouts?
Broadway at night. Cousin Colby. Cousin Colby, I know you haven't seen me in 10 years, but put me down.
All right.
First, take me back inside the window.
Colby, is that a way to treat a relative of yours? Now I want to talk to him. Sit him down, wine him, and dine him.
I think I go now.
Why?
You said wine me, dine me. Cousin Colby looks like he wants to shave me. So long.
Colby, there's something highly irregular about this.
Now, please, Mr. Grimes, have a cigar. I never saw these relatives before.
What did you say, Mr. Colby?
You'd have a relative. I never saw these cigars before. Tovarich, Colby. Granny Strebdevayich, Latuka, Spafoinia, Prozdoya, and regards from Uncle Patrick.
Another relative?
That's right, Kiro. I haven't seen Uncle Colby for 10 years. Let's eat.
You haven't seen him for 10 years, and the first thing you want to do is eat?
That's right. Borscht is thicker than blood.
Now, you interest me very much. I've always wanted to obtain the first-hand information about the USSR.
USSR. Oh, I get it. That's Russia spelled backwards.
I've always been very interested in the Russian experiment.
What do you mean, experiment? I had a mother and father just like you did.
Yes, now, just what did you do in Russia?
Me? I'm the greatest actor in Moscow. I play gangster parts. Listen. Give a listen to wise guy, see? From whom you get me your vodka, from whom? Huh? See? Whom? Huh? Whom?
Oh, I was wonderful. Our great critic, Yasha Fiddler, he gave me the highest award. 4 bulgas and a boatman.
Now, this has gone far enough, Mr. Colby. And what I've seen tonight is enough. You're not getting any loan from my bank.
Oh, then give me back my cigar.
And for making a fool out of me, I'm going to break every cigar in this box.
Did you hear that, Mr. Colby?
Yes, and for making a fool out of me, Mel Blanc, I'm going to break every bone in your box.
So, Banker Grimes gave Mr. Colby the loan, and now your girl Betty won't have to leave town. Mel, that's wonderful.
Yes, Professor Pochnik, for a minute I thought I was going to be killed.
Well, what saved you?
Well, Mr. Grimes turned out to be an amateur actor himself, and he enjoyed my performance.
A Pochnik pupil pleases people. And now I should act out the gangster again, eh?
Yeah.
All right. Give a listen, wise guy, see? From who you getting your vodka, from who, huh?
Fine. Well, is that what you wanted to learn, Mr. Grimes?
Yes, Mel, I'll see if I have it right. Give a listen, wise guy, see? From who you getting your vodka, from who, ha, ha.
Mel Blanc will be back in just a minute.
Use Colgate tooth powder, keep smiling just right. Use it each morning and use it each night. Don't take a chance with your romance. Use Colgate tooth powder.
It's tragic, but true, that a little breath of trouble, I mean unpleasing breath, deprives many a girl of romance. Anyone can be a victim of unpleasing breath, even you. So it's important always to be on your guard against this social handicap. That's why we recommend this daily practice. Brush your teeth night and morning and before every date with Colgate tooth powder. For Colgate tooth powder cleans your breath as it cleans your teeth. Yes, scientific tests have definitely proved that in 7 cases out of 10, Colgate tooth powder instantly stops unpleasing breath that originates in the mouth. What's more, no dentifrice at any price cleans your teeth more quickly and thoroughly than Colgate tooth powder. Remember to buy it first thing. And remember the name Colgate tooth powder with the accent on powder.
Don't take a chance with your romance. Use Colgate tooth powder.
This is Mel Blanc saying thanks for listening. Good night, Andy.
That's all, folks.
This is Bud Easton reminding you that Colgate tooth powder for a breath of sweet and teeth that sparkle brings you the Mel Blanc Show every Tuesday at this time. Be sure to join us again next Tuesday night for more fun with Mel and the people you'll meet in Mel Blanc's Fix-It Shop.
Say hello to Halo Shampoo for naturally bright and beautiful hair. Remember, even finest soaps and soap shampoos hide the natural luster of your hair with dulling soap film. But Halo Shampoo contains no soap, therefore leaves no dulling soap film. Even in hardest water, Halo makes oceans of rich, fragrant lather, quickly banishes loose dandruff and dirt. Halo needs no lemon or vinegar rinse. Say hello to Halo and goodbye to dulling soap film. Get Halo shampoo at any cosmetic counter.
Ladies, now more and more fats and oils are needed to make more and more of the things we need so badly. Your butcher pays you a high price for every pound of waste fat you take to him. So do fill a tin and turn it in. Remember, Mel Blanc at the same time every Tuesday night. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Mel Blanc and the Foreign Relative from 1947. Now it's time for Martin and Lewis, and you recall that Dean Martin, of course, the singer, the famous singer, and Jerry Lewis, the comedian, joined forces in 1949 to create a radio show of comedy and music. And we'll hear it right now with Madeline Carroll as the guest from May the 1st of 1949.
It's the Martin and Lewis Show. The National Broadcasting Company brings you, transcribed from New York, the Martin and Lewis Show. Our guest tonight, Madeline Carroll, and featuring Flo McMichael, Ed Hurley, Dick Stabile and his orchestra, and starring Dean Martin.
I love you so much, it hurts me. Darling, that's why I'm so blue.
And Jerry Lewis.
I love you so much, it hurts me.
Jerry, now what's the matter with it? Do you have to sing that way? Isn't it enough that you're skinny and you have a funny-looking hair and face?
Well, if I'm so skinny and everything, why do you work with me?
Well, you make such a wonderful pipe cleaner. Jerry, isn't it great to be here in New York this season?
What do you mean?
Well, don't you feel something in the air?
Well, no. I can't say that I feel anything in the air right now. But I felt something in the air yesterday.
You did?
Yeah, a guy dropped his lunchbox off the elevator and hit me on the head.
Jerry, I'm referring to the season.
So am I. The salt and pepper shakers hit me on the head, too.
When you were out in the sunshine, didn't a warm feeling creep all over you?
Yeah, the cork came out of his coffee bottle.
Jerry, how am I ever going to get through to that brain of yours?
It's simple. You turn left to Jersey City and keep going.
You know, Jerry, now that we're here in New York, you should dress more conservatively.
I think I'm dressed conservatively.
Jerry, look at that hand-painted tie with a picture of a fella chasing a girl in a bathing suit. You call that conservative?
Sure. They're married.
All right, Jerry. Now, do you mind if I sing? I got a number to do right here, you know.
I was born in Texas. I was bred in Kansas. When I get married, I'll be wed in Kansas. There's a true blue gal who promised she would wait. She's a sunflower from the sunflower state. She's a sunflower. She's my sunflower. And I know we'll never part. She's a sunflower. She's my one flower. She's the flower of my heart. I was fair in Kansas. Clouds are rare in Kansas. Never saw a place that could compare with Kansas. So I'm going home to keep a wedding date with a sunflower from the sunflower state. She's a sunflower. She's my sunflower. And I know we'll never part. She's a sunflower. She's my one flower. She's the flower of my heart.
Hey, Dean, that was real swell singing. I think your voice is even better since we came east.
Well, thanks, Jerry.
No, I mean it, Dean. I think it really sounds good.
Well, that's very nice of you, Jerry. And now, ladies and gentlemen...
No, it makes me proud to have a partner who can sing so good.
All right, Jerry, you said it. Now, let it go at that.
Oh, so you're getting sore. I pay you a nice compliment. You won't even admit that I think you sing good.
All right, Jerry, I sing good. I admit it. I'm terrific. I'm wonderful. Everything. Are you satisfied now?
Oh, what a ham.
But Jerry, stop clowning. Instead of arguing, let's enjoy ourselves here in New York. Eh?
Hello, Mr. Martin. Hello, Mr. Lewis.
Well, it's our secretary, Florence. How do you like New York, Florence?
Well, I'm not sure yet. I've only had a day to look around.
Well, we arrived here a week ago. How come you've only had one day to look around?
Nobody told me to get off the train.
Florence, you don't mean that when the train got in the Grand Central, you stayed on it for a whole week? I never heard of anyone doing anything so flighty.
If it was me you were talking to, you'd say stupid.
Haven't you seen any of the city yet, Florence?
Oh, yeah. Yesterday, I spent the whole day just going up and looking at the view from the top of the Empire State Building.
Well, you must have loved it up there.
Oh, I was just up there a few minutes.
But you said you spent the whole day.
I did. It's quite a climb, you know.
Well, if you walked all the way to the top, I certainly hope the view was worth it.
So do I.
You hope the view was worth it? Don't you know?
No. I was afraid to open my eyes.
Florence.
What?
Are you for real?
Well, I just hope you have a lot of fun here, Florence.
Oh, I will. But things are so complicated in New York. Mr. Lewis took me to the funniest hot dog stand.
Funny hot dog stand? Where is it?
I don't know exactly, but it's called Yankee Stadium.
You went to Yankee Stadium? Oh, then you saw a baseball game.
I did?
You mean you didn't know what was going on? Jerry, why didn't you explain it to her?
Oh, Mr. Lewis explained the whole thing to me.
I sure did, Dean.
Well, that's why I didn't know what was going on. Tell me, Mr. Lewis, who was that man with the iron mask on his face who crouched down behind the batter?
Oh, that's the catcher. He has to wear that iron mask or else the baseballs would smash his face out of shape.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, I know all about that stuff. I used to be a catcher myself.
You were? Oh, Mr. Lewis, why didn't you wear a mask?
I couldn't afford a real mask, so I put a birdcage over my head.
Well, that should have been all right.
Yeah, but just as the pitcher threw the ball, the canary flew out and left the door open. Anyway, Florence, you had fun going to the Yankee Stadium with me, didn't you?
Oh, yes, but I hated the woman sitting next to me. She was wearing the same hat I was.
I didn't think you even saw that woman's hat. You were so busy eating those 10 hot dogs I bought for you.
Oh, I didn't eat them. I just squeezed all the mustard on her hat when she wasn't looking.
Well, I didn't know you had a crush on Flo, Jerry.
You didn't?
No, I didn't.
Well, I like Florence, but I have a problem.
Well, what is it? Pray tell.
Well, I keep asking myself this. Can a man who has had a Tinker Toy set for 23 years find happiness with girls?
You know, Jerry, you ought to see a psychiatrist and get straightened out. How'd you get all those kinks in your brain anyway?
I gave my hair a Tony Cold Wave and it sang through.
Jerry's very sweet, Mr. Martin. Yesterday, he took me to one of those swanky stores on Park Avenue to buy me some perfume. But I couldn't find anything I liked. All they had was Surrender, Passion, Taboo. The perfume I wanted was My Sin.
Why do you want My Sin?
Well, with that kind, they give you free judo lessons.
So long, Florence. We'll see you later.
So long, Florence. Hey, you know, Dean, I may have another date with her.
Well, it's the right time of year for romance, Jerry. People in love, birds, bees.
Oh, I know all about that. My father told me about the birds and bees for years before I had my first date.
And what happened?
I got stung. But I know all that birds and bees stuff, Dean. I speak the language of the bees. I can even understand what they are saying. Why, only this afternoon I was in a park listening to a couple of them having a conversation.
Oh, Jerry, please.
No, I'm not kidding. I was sitting on a bench, and this bee came along and went zzz. Pretty soon, a boy bee came along and went zzz, zzz. And then the girl bee went zzz, and the boy bee went zzz. And then suddenly, zzz.
What in the world was that last zzz?
Her husband showed up. Oh.
Friends, are you saving for a rainy day? The best people are doing it, so it must be a good thing. It must pay off, especially when your emergency money is invested in United States savings bonds. Savings bonds issued by our own government, and as safe as our government. They're the best place of all for your savings because United States savings bonds make your money grow and grow. In only 10 years, every $3 you put away grow into $4, and every $300, $400. And maybe you didn't know it, but you don't have to save a whole savings bond all at once, no sir. You can join either of the two time payment plans. If you're employed, join the payroll savings plan where you work. If you're in business for yourself, you're a builder or farmer or painting contractor, join the bond a month plan where you bank. For future security, save in United States savings bonds. ¶¶
Well, you know, Jerry, we have a lovely guest on our show tonight, the famous stage and screen star, Madeline Carroll.
Yeah, Madeline Carroll. Oh, boy, wow.
Look, never mind about that oh, boy, wow stuff. When she gets here, I want you to be, you know, on your best behavior.
Oh, I will, Dean. Gee, Madeline Carroll. She's a glamorous, beautiful movie star. She wouldn't wipe her feet on me.
Oh, after she gets to know you, I'm sure she will.
Gee, I can hardly wait for her to get here, Dean, because you know what?
What?
Well, when we left Paramount, Bob Hope asked me to give Madeline a kiss for him.
Jerry, that's just a figure of speech.
Yeah, and her figure's something to make speeches about.
Jerry, you don't understand. Bob Hope didn't mean for you to actually kiss Madeline. He just meant to say hello to her. Only a moron would interpret it otherwise.
Well, meet Jerry Lewis, boy otherwise.
I don't know why we're even discussing it. In the first place, you don't know how to kiss a girl.
I do, too. I've been kissing girls since I was knee-high to a grasshopper. Of course, I kissed a lot of grasshoppers, too.
Ah, that's just schoolboy stuff. Now, the way to kiss a girl, well, you take her in your arms, you lean her back a little, and say something soft and sweet to her. You whisper, darling, and then you kiss her.
Oh, Dean, I'm so unworthy of you.
Now, Madeline will be here in a moment, Jerry, and I want you to be very polite to her. Just say, Madeline, I'm charmed to meet you, and, you know, go ahead, now say it. Let me hear you say it.
Madeline, I'm charmed to meet you.
Now, here, watch now. Say it again. I just want to hear you say it again.
Madeline, I'm charmed to meet you.
That's right. Now, here she comes.
Hello, Dean.
Well, hello, Madeline. Step right in here. I've got a little surprise for you. All right, Jerry, say it.
Madeline, I'm charmed to meet you.
Oh, Dean, how cute. Where did you get it, and how do you wind it up?
Look, Miss Carroll, I'm Jerry Lewis. You don't wind me up. I'm a person. Nobody winds me up.
Hello, Jerry. My, you're cute.
Yeah?
Oh, very cute.
Yeah?
You know, Jerry, you appeal to me very much.
Well, Jerry, don't say something.
Madeline, I'm charmed to meet you.
Is Jerry always this excited, Dean?
Well, he's naturally nervous, Madeline. You know, when jitters wake up after a bad night, they have Jerry. They have Jerry. I wish they had that joke.
That's nothing wrong with the joke, Dean. The audience didn't understand. I'll explain it to them.
You're going to explain this whole joke?
Yeah, you see, when you
I
wake up...
I want to wish you a lot of luck.
Oh, thanks. You see, when you make a joke like jitters sees Jerry, that means it's the reverse. Usually the person sees the jitters. But I'm supposed to be such a jerk and everything that the jitters saw me. See, this is a form of a joke that Dean always says, and when people hear it, they scream and laugh. It's so funny and everything. All right, so I made a boo-boo.
Ah, quiet, Jerry. You know, you're very beautiful, Madeline. You have such lovely blonde hair.
Thank you, Dean. And for your information, my hair is naturally blonde.
It is?
Oh, stop with the jokes, Jerry. I want to tell Madeline we really appreciate her coming over tonight. You must be pretty busy working in your play, Goodbye, My Fancy.
Goodbye, My Fancy? What does that mean?
Well, Jerry, in the play, I'm a girl who has clothed herself in a lot of pretty, fanciful illusions, and I lose them.
You lose your pretty illusions right on the stage?
Jerry, look. You'll have to excuse Jerry, Madeline. He's very tired tonight. He got into a fight with his animal crackers and he lost.
You know, Jerry, I'm beginning to think you're very young.
It's just spring, Madeline. Wild, mad spring. Oh, sweet Madeline, tell me that you care.
I do care, Gerald, with all my heart.
Then come, my loved one. Let us go off into the woodlands. We'll take our shoes off and tiptoe through the flowers.
Jerry, you don't take a girl tiptoeing through the flowers. Nobody does that.
I do, but I'm only 23 years old. What do I know? Hey, Madeline, that reminds me. I got something for you from Bob Hope.
Wonderful, Jerry. What is it?
Gee. What do I do now?
Jerry, if you've got something for me from Bob Hope, I want to know what it is. Perhaps I can guess what it is. Let me see now. Does it have the rare, delicate scent of violets?
No, it doesn't have the scent of violets. Of course, once in a while, I choose scent.
Well, is it something wonderful that I'll dream about at night?
Yeah, it's pretty wonderful.
I give up, Jerry. What is it?
Well, Madeline, when we left Hollywood, Bob Hope told me to give you a kiss for him.
A kiss?
Yes. That's why Jerry's all upset. He wants to kiss you and deliver Bob's message.
I see. By any chance, Dean, did Mr. Hope give you any message for me?
No, he didn't.
Well, a girl has to lose once in a while.
Well, come on, Madeline, pucker up. I am ready.
But, Jerry, that's ridiculous. You're kissing Madeline Carroll wouldn't be anything like Bob Hope kissing her.
Why not?
Well, Jerry, if you kiss me, it's just another kiss. But with Bob's nose, he can kiss me and breathe in my ear at the same time.
Wait till you try my technique. The last girl I kissed said murder.
Maybe that's what she preferred.
Is that so? Listen here, after they kiss me, they're willing to die. I bet Madeline's gonna love this.
Well, I must tell you, you're up against some real competition, Jerry. You see, when Charles Boyer kisses me, I think of the Casbah. Mysterious, exotic. And when Turan Bey kisses me, I think of a harem draped in silks and sweet incense-laden air. And when Robert Taylor kisses me, I think of champagne, evening clothes, and sables, Monte Carlo. And now you want to kiss me.
Yeah. I hope you like Coney Island.
Well, go ahead, Madeline. He'll hound you all night if you don't kiss him.
Well, all right, Jerry. I'm ready.
Okay, here goes. Well, how is that?
You know something? Coney Island isn't so bad.
Madeline, after Dean sings, we're going to do a little skit on what happens in spring and how boys meet girls. Would you like to help us out?
I'd love to, Jerry.
Okay, Dean, hurry up and sing. Bye.
Bye.
Dean Martin sings, accompanied by Dick Stabile in the orchestra, Dreamer with a Penny.
I'd rather be a dreamer with a penny than a rich man with a worried mind. Here am I with wealth untold. The moonlight is my silver, the sunshine is my gold. I'd rather have a shanty filled with laughter than a palace someone's tears designed. Lady Luck and I keep walking hand in glove. Got a gal who loves me for nothing but my love. I'd rather be a dreamer with a penny than a rich man with a worried mind. A shanty filled with laughter than a palace someone's tears designed. Lady Luck and I keep walking hand in glove. Got a gal who loves me for nothing but my love. I'd rather be a dreamer with a penny than a rich man with a worried mind.
United States savings bonds, the best place of all for your savings, because United States savings bonds make your money grow and grow. In only 10 years, every $3 you put away grow into $4, and every $300, $400. And maybe you didn't know it, but you don't have to save a whole savings bond all at once. No, sir. You can join either of the two time payment plans. If you're employed, join the payroll savings plan where you work. If you're in business for yourself, you're a builder or farmer or painting contractor, join the bond-a-month plan where you bank. For future security, save in United States savings bonds.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, Madeline, Dean, and I are going to show you some of the problems of young love in spring. In our first scene, we find an unhappy young man entering the office of that famous lovelorn editor, Miss Beatrice Madeline Carroll Fairfax. Pardon me, are you Miss Fairfax?
Yes.
I have a big problem. I can't get girls. I can't understand it. I'm clever and witty and brilliant, a college graduate. I have a very high IQ. I'm extremely intelligent and a cultured gentleman.
But, young man, you're supposed to write me these problems.
Who can write? Next, we have the naive, inexperienced young man going to call on his girl at her home.
Gee, I always have trouble getting up enough courage to ring the doorbell. Madeline's such a refined, bashful girl. She'll never marry anybody. Well, I'll ring the bell.
Come in!
Hello.
Gerald, how nice to see you. Isn't that box of candy for me?
Yes, it is. A big 5-pound box of candy. It's Tutti Frutti caramels with chocolate-covered cherry centers with marshmallow cream filling under the coconut. I'm sorry, they didn't have the fancy kind.
Come on, Gerald, sit down beside me on the sofa.
Before you take a bite, Madeline, tonight you have to give me a kiss.
Give you a kiss? Gerald, Louis, I'll have you know I'm not that kind of a girl.
But, Madeline...
Goodness, somebody's at the door. You stay here on the sofa and I'll go see who it is.
Hello, baby doll. How about a great big kiss?
Poor guy doesn't know she's not that kind of a girl.
Well, let's sit down on the sofa, honey. We'll pitch a little wool. Oops! What's this I'm sitting on? Hey, where'd you get the totem pole?
Hey, I'm no totem pole. And look here, Madeline, I got something to say to you. You won't even give me a kiss, and yet you let this fella come right in and throw his arms around you and kiss him as much as he wants.
You think that's something? I'm in the wrong house. Look, kid, you're crowding us here on the sofa. Go on, scram, get out of here, and leave that box of chocolates where it is.
All right, I'll go. You're sitting with my girl, and now you're eating my candy. But I'll fix you. I'm gonna turn out all the lights so you can't find the good pieces. And then there's the little romantic scene that often occurs in Central Park. Dean plays the sailor, I play the girl.
Well, here I am. I wish a handsome sailor would come along and whistle at me.
Hiya, babe.
Hello, sailor. Were you whistling at me?
Yeah, I've been at sea quite a while, and you look pretty good to me.
You think I'm beautiful, don't you?
Are you kidding? I was at sea quite a while, but I wasn't born on the ship.
How can you say that? My friends think that I look like a movie star.
Yeah, I see what they mean. Your hair, it reminds me of Linda Darnell, and your eyes remind me of Greer Garson. Your face reminds me of Lana Turner.
How about my legs?
My favorite, Wild Bill Elliott.
Well, I can't help it. I've been looking for some liquid stocking makeup, but I can't find the exact thing to match my legs.
Yeah, it must be hard to find bow-legged bottles.
Have you been a sailor long?
I'll say I have. Matey, I'm a seagoing tar on the briny deep. Ah, oh, the salty spray on a four-masted schooner in the crow's nest. Swab the deck, scrape those barnacles. Ahoy there, full speed ahead. Anchors away.
Say, mister.
Yes?
Are you for real?
We're wasting time. Let's start smooching.
How dare you try to kiss me?
What are you hitting me for? I didn't even touch you.
I know, I'm just practicing.
Oh, boy, look at this swell dish coming along the walk.
Hello, sailor. Going my way?
Swell dish? You call her a swell dish? What she got that I haven't got?
Nothing, but you knocked with 10 and she went gin.
But Sailor, don't tell me this dame is your girlfriend.
Of course. I'm lovely. I'm engaged. I've had my mustache plucked.
I still like this beautiful blonde better.
Oh, yeah?
Sure, compared to you, she's Eve in the Garden of Eden.
Okay, I'm Eve. Come on, Adam, let's get out of here.
Oh, no, you don't. I got his arm, and he's staying here.
Well, I got his other arm, and he's coming with me.
Hey, you two, stop pulling.
What do you know? We split the atom.
And finally, there's the lonesome young fellow who hasn't got a girlfriend and goes to the famous Roseland Diamond Dance Hall.
Well, here I am at Roseland. I wonder if there are any girls around here I can dance with.
Yoo-hoo, lover boy. Would you like to dance with me, honey?
Do I want to dance? Sure. How about a rumba?
You know how to rumba?
I'll say. I'm an expert at it. Never took a lesson in my life either.
Yeah? How'd you learn?
I got a bicycle with a loose seat. Hey. They're gonna start. We better get ready, huh?
Yeah. Snuggle up a little closer, sweetie.
How's this?
Closer.
Am I close enough now?
I think so. You're behind me.
I'm sorry. Here we go. Here's my ticket.
That'll be another ticket, bud.
Another ticket? I didn't even get a hold of you.
Well, give me another ticket, and this time grab quicker.
Okay, here, let's go. Hey, who leads this band, Flash Gordon?
Come on, honey, the next one is a waltz. Give me another ticket.
Hey, I think I'm getting swindled here. Hey, Mr. Orchestra Leader, what was that number?
Cruising down a river.
Well, let's cruise a little. I didn't even get a chance to get in the boat.
Oh, quit beefing, honey bunch. Let's dance some more.
Well, okay.
That'll be another ticket.
Hey, now I'm sore. Bum. What number was that?
The 1 o'clock jump.
What'd you do, set it back for daylight saving?
If you don't shut up, wise guy, I'll bang you over the head with every instrument in my band.
Oh, yeah? Let's see you try it.
There, you happy?
Yeah, I'm happy. At last, you played one number all the way through.
The Martin and Lewis Show, transcribed in New York, is produced and directed by Robert L. Redd and written by Norman Sullivan, Dick McKnight, Ray Allen, and Chet Castellaw. Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis are soon to be seen in the Hal Wallace production, My Friend Irma. This is Ed Hurley. He's suggesting you tune in your NBC station each Sunday evening at the same hour for The Martin and Lewis Show.
Well, we're down to our last 30 minutes now. And our program is The Adventures of Maisie. Maisie, of course, was a popular movie series for, I believe, MGM in 1949. And the episode is entitled The Truck Driver. So from December 8th of 1949, here's Ann Southern and The Adventures of Maisie.
Hiya, babe. Say, how about a little... Ouch!
Does that answer your question, buddy?
The Adventures of Maisie, starring Ann Southern. You all remember Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer's famous Maisie picture. In just a moment, you'll hear Maisie in Radio, starring the same glamorous star you all went to see and loved on the screen, Ann Southern. But first, your announcer.
here's Ann Southern as Maisie.
Yep. I'm, like the man said, Maisie Revere from Brooklyn. By profession, I'm a chanteuse. That's French for singer, you know. Right now, I'm between engagements. That's an expression in show business that means if something don't happen real soon, I'll starve to death. Well, this morning I was making the rounds of agents' offices, and I got a couple of offers. One of them was even for a job. And then I chanced on a big war surplus company with a sign out, help wanted. And inasmuch as a job is a job, I opened the door, and I walked up to the man at the personnel window. I had to eat, and I wasn't one of them choosy chanteuses.
Yes, miss, what can I do for you?
I'll take it.
Take what?
The job. How much does it pay?
Oh, you mean our sign on the window.
Yeah. Of course, I really don't expect it to be in my line. I'm a singer, you know.
Well, I'm sorry, miss. We're not putting on any singers this week. But we are short of help. What kind of other work do you think you can do?
Yes.
I mean, what do you have experience at?
Oh, well, what's open?
Well, we can use a typist, comptometrist, sonographer, bookkeeper, billing clerk, lithograph operator. Well?
Keep going. I'll tell you when you come to it.
Am I getting warm?
Not even close yet. But there must be something.
Look, miss, all we take care of here is war surplus.
Oh, then you ought to take care of me. I'm war surplus.
You are?
Yeah. I used to be a whack.
Well, I'm sorry, Sergeant, but I'm afraid there's really nothing that we can...
Gee, I drove an ambulance and trucks. Say, maybe you can use a truck driver.
A truck driver? But you're a woman.
Yeah, but women have stomachs, too. Or haven't you been down to the beach lately?
But
during the war, I drove trucks all over Europe and Africa. During bombardments, too.
But, miss, this isn't Africa. This is Los Angeles.
Oh, that's all right. I'm used to danger.
I'm sorry, but it's impossible. Women truck drivers, it just isn't being done.
Yeah, sure. Of course, during the war, women drove taxis, ambulances, trucks. But now that it's all over, you're right. It can't be done. Well, so long, chum. Sorry I took up your time.
Oh, gee,
why don't you look where you're going?
Oh, I'm very sorry, miss. Here, let me help you up.
Thanks.
Look, your elbow, it's all scraped.
Well, that's all right. I got too much skin anyway.
Oh, gosh, maybe you're killed. I mean, maybe you better sit down.
Well, now,
maybe.
Calm down, fella. You're all excited.
I can't help it. You see, I'm going to have a baby.
You are? Well, then maybe you'd better sit down.
Oh, thanks. Oh, I mean, my wife's going to have a baby.
Oh.
I mean, it could be tonight. The baby, I mean. You know how it is.
Well, no, I'm single.
Oh, that's why I've got to be there, to take her to the hospital, my wife. It's my first, you know.
Your first wife?
No, baby.
Oh.
It costs a lot of money, and I can't afford to lose it.
The baby?
No, my job.
Oh.
I drive a truck, you know.
Didn't know.
Oh, yeah, for this company. I work nights.
Mm-hmm.
That's when they're always delivered, aren't they?
Trucks?
No, babies.
Oh, I should have known.
Yeah, gosh, I shouldn't tonight. I shouldn't, because I got a feeling that it's going to happen. But the money, I'm afraid to tell him, but I must. Mustn't I?
Huh?
Don't you think?
Well, look, you'd better start from the beginning. I think maybe I missed something.
Yeah. I'm Charlie Pilsudski.
How do you do? I'm Maisie Revere.
Oh, how do you do?
Well, not very well. I try to get a job here driving a truck.
You drive a truck, but you're a woman.
I know it and you know it, but does the truck? Look, I drove practically everything on wheels all over Europe.
Gosh. Say, maybe...
Yeah?
No, it's crazy.
Yeah, crazy.
Hey, but on the other hand...
Yeah, on the other hand.
It won't work.
No, it won't work.
But I just gotta take the chance. Maisie, will you do it?
Sure. Do what?
Take over tonight's run to Frisco. Oh, the dough ain't much.
Well, my stomach don't hold much.
Oh, it'll be a big favor, Maisie. I begged off 2 runs this week already, and if I tell the boss I can't make it tonight again because my wife's time is getting too close and I ought to be with her just in case...
They'd fire you, huh?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, and jobs ain't easy to get.
So I've heard. Okay, Charlie, I'll get your truck to Frisco. You'll still have your job, your wife can have the baby, and...
Oh, you're not backing out, are you, Maisie?
No, but how am I going to get the truck past the checker tonight? He'll notice I'm a woman. I got it. I'll wear a sweater.
A sweater?
Oh, yeah. I see what you mean.
Hey, don't you worry about that, Maisie. You just be at the loading platform at 11:30 tonight.
But
huh?
The checker.
Oh, Bill Hendricks is a friend of mine. He'll keep his eyes and mouth closed. I'll have the truck all loaded and ready for you to take off in a hurry.
Good. I'll be there on time, Charlie.
Oh, good.
And I'll get that truck to Frisco for you right on time.
Yeah. Only one thing.
Yeah?
You're a woman, and if a cop should stop you driving a truck without a license, how will you get out of it?
Don't you worry about that, Charlie. Like you say, I'm a woman.
Take it easy. Loading that loot on the truck, Lefty. And keep it quiet.
What you so jumpy about, Pete? I took care we won't be this tight.
Come on. Let's get the rest of this stuff in the truck. I promised Shirley I'd be back in time to give her another lesson on picking locks. She's ambitious, that girl of mine.
My Myrtle's the same.
Yeah?
Wants me to let her do one of these warehouse jobs, but I keep telling her the boss won't go for it.
Yeah, my Shirley's the same about that. But I keep telling her to stay home, read her comic books. You know, improve her mind.
Yeah, education's a wonderful thing.
Yeah.
Hey, come on, now, stop moaning about your girl. Let's get this load loaded.
Keep your shade on, will you? We ain't due it to rent this bus until 12:30.
Yeah, but it's 20 miles to the turnpike road, and Blackie don't like to be kept waiting.
He's impatient.
There ain't gonna be much room for any more stuff in here. Charlie loaded it pretty full.
Charlie? Who's Charlie?
Charlie Pilsudski, the guy who drives this here load.
Oh, yeah.
I seen his name on the license when I checked the gas gauge.
Doc Lefty.
What's up?
Quick, under the truck. With me. A cop.
Where?
Out there on the street corner. Under the light. Quick. Under here.
I kind of thought this was working out too good to last. Now he ain't going to be able to meet Blackie on schedule.
Shh. Quiet. We'll have to lay here till he goes.
And where do you think you're going, miss?
Oh, good evening, officer. It's a nice night, ain't it?
Answer the question, miss.
Oh, sure. It is a nice night.
I mean, where are you going?
Oh, well, I have to wait for my boyfriend in that truck.
Yes?
He
And what's so funny?
He ain't there yet. You see, he's driving all the way to Frisco, and I'm bringing him a change of clothes.
It's in that suitcase?
Yeah. He's a very snappy dresser, you know.
He must be. There's a bit of lace sticking out of there.
Oh, well, that's mine. You see, I'm going with him. We're getting married. So long, officer.
Well, it ain't safe for a girl to be waiting around in a dark alley all by herself. I'll just keep you company till he gets here.
Oh, well, that won't be necessary, officer. I'll drive by his house and pick him up.
Oh, you drive a truck?
Why is everybody so amazed?
Well, do you have a license?
Well, sure I have, officer. You can't get married without one.
I mean, do you have a license to drive a truck?
No, but, gosh, Charlie and me, we just gotta get married. You see, I'm running away from home.
I'm sorry, miss, but you gotta have a license to drive a truck. We still have laws in this city.
Well, you see, my father don't want me to marry him because he's an Irishman.
Oh, I see. And what's wrong with Irishmen?
Nothing, but my father...
Come along, young lady. I'm going to see that you get in that truck and pick up your fella. Yeah, your old man sure has a nerve trying to prevent you from finding true happiness with the son of old Aaron.
Oh, thank you, officer.
Yes, come along now. Can't keep the groom waiting. Oh, you lucky girl.
Pete, the cop, he's coming up to the truck.
Yes, and he's got a dame with him. Yep. You just put down the rug.
They're getting too close for comfort. I got...
Quiet. Keep down under here.
Hey, but she's getting in a truck. Hey, suppose she drives it off. We'll be caught here without...
You dope. Whoever heard of a dame driving a truck, you stupid.
Yeah. Hey, you know, for a minute there, I was worried.
Well, goodbye, officer, and thanks.
Oh, forget it, miss. Just save me a piece of the wedding cake.
I will, officer. Just as soon as we're Mr. and Mrs. Charles Pilsudski.
Sure. Pilsudski! I thought you said your boyfriend was Irish.
Oh, did I say Pilsudski? I meant old Pilsudski.
Old Pilsudski? But that's he's an Irish.
Goodbye, officer.
Come back here.
Petey. Don't look now, but some dames can drive trucks.
Yeah. Come on, we gotta run for
it. Get your hands up. Get him up, Kenny.
Now, wait a minute, officer.
You're making a mistake, officer.
If I am, I'll hate myself in the morning. Well, well, well. Look who it is. It's Lefty and Petey Boy. Are you still specializing in robbing warehouses, eh?
Look, officer, we didn't do nothing.
Well, don't worry me, boys. From now on, you'll be doing plenty. About 10 years. And so will little Goldilocks.
Goldilocks?
The cute little trick that's working with you. Yes, she won't get very far with that stolen truck.
The Adventures of Maisie, starring Ann Southern, will continue in just a moment. To Maisie.
Some enchanted evening. Some enchanted evening, I'll say. Hi, fella. Looking for a lift?
Well, sure am, mister.
You're a girl.
Oh, and a pretty wet girl at that.
Yeah. When the Chamber of Commerce said come to California and soak up the sunshine, they weren't kidding. Hop in.
Don't mind if I do. Whew. There. Oh, it sure feels good to sit down again. My feet sure thank you for this, Mac.
Don't let the mustache fool you, honey. It's just grease. The name's Maisie. Maisie Revere.
Oh, I'm Helen O'Rourke.
O'Rourke? Say, you're Irish.
Well, what's so funny about being Irish?
Well, don't get your shillelagh in an uproar, honey. I was just thinking of a fastie. I pulled on a cop.
A cop?
Yeah, well, forget it, honey. You walking back from a little session of Come On, Baby, Be Reasonable?
No, I'm hitchhiking to Portland for a job.
At 11:30 at night in the rain?
Well, it isn't easy to make an honest dollar, you know.
Yeah, I've heard the rumor. Frisco's where I'm unloading this heat. I can take you that far.
Oh, thanks. I'm supposed to start work since I get to Portland.
Oh. Well, what at, honey? Waitress or stuff like that there?
No. You are now looking at Helen O'Rourke, girl lumberjack.
Lumberjack? But that ain't woman's work.
Well, driving a truck isn't exactly feminine.
Touché, honey. I'm just chauffeuring this dinosaur on wheels because a buck is a buck, like the saying goes.
Well, I know there can't be a fortune in driving a truck.
That all depends on what you consider a fortune, honey.
Well, let's have some radio.
We interrupt this program to bring you a late news flash. Attention, local police. Be on the lookout for a 10-ton truck believed to be headed north on the San Francisco Coast Route.
See, we're on the Coast Route, Maisie, aren't we?
Yeah, but I ain't stopping to look for no trucks. When you've seen one, you've seen them all.
The truck, loaded with Army surplus material, was stolen earlier this evening from the warehouse of the Acme War Surplus Company.
Say, Maisie, isn't this an Acme truck?
Yeah, one of them. But Acme's a big outfit. What's losing one truck to them?
The driver of the stolen truck may be armed, so proceed with caution. She is reputed to be a member of the notorious Blackie Leonard gang.
She? Well, who ever heard of a woman truck driver? She?
She is described as being about 5'2".
Oh, don't look at me like that, honey. I'm only 5'1¾".
She's a glamorous blonde.
Maisie, you're...
Oh, that's silly. Who can be glamorous wearing faded blue overalls?
When last seen, she was wearing faded blue overalls.
Oh,
well, how could that cop tell? It was so dark.
Cop!
Oh, let me out of
but
here.
But, honey,
All motorists are requested to report to the police immediately if you've seen this stolen truck and this desperate gun mall.
Oh, jeepers, they'll give me 20 years in jail.
That is all.
That's enough.
Oh, dear. What are you stopping here for?
You're not going to shoot me?
Oh, of course not, Helen, honey. I'm no murderer. I'm no nothing. Let's get away from this heat. All I ask is that you stick by me to the end.
Oh. Look. A man just pulled up in front of us. Getting out. Oh, he has a gun in his hand.
And this is the end.
Good work, babe. You got to the rendezvous here right on schedule.
Rendezvous?
Oh.
Oh, the tough part's all over. You don't have to be nervous no more, Shirley.
Shirley.
Hey, this is Lefty's girl, Shirley, ain't it, Myrtle?
Yes. I mean, yes. pipe down, Shirley. You don't want Pete to think his girl has gone chicken.
Pete's girl? I thought you was Lefty's girl.
Oh, yeah, well, we keep changing fellas back and forth, don't we, Shirley?
Yeah. We like variety.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, then maybe we could be more than just associates in our warehouse robbing enterprises. You know, there ain't nobody that's got a better appreciation of feminine putritude than Blackie Leonard.
Blackie Leonard? Oh, no.
Sure, sure. Say, used to a Pete and Lefty's mouths, ain't you?
Oh, certainly. I mean, certainly. Myrtle just screamed like that because, well, you know how them Bobby Sockers scream for Sinatra.
He sort of goes for me, huh?
Yeah, Blackie. But I saw your voice.
But...
You heard me, Myrtle. Blackie's mine, and if I catch you beating my time with him, I'll shoot you so full of holes you look like a new Buick.
Now, ladies, don't fight over me, please. Till later. You know, we gotta get destructed a hideout before the cops spot it. And then, baby, when we're settled down nice and cozy like, you and me, you know.
No, but I got a pretty good idea. But the Pete and Lefty...
Oh, you don't have to worry about them goons. For about 10 years, the cops picked them up at a warehouse.
Oh, but how did you...
Know how they got caught? Yeah. Oh, I got connections at headquarters.
Well, no, she meant about her, the truck, didn't you, Myrtle?
You're Myrtle, I'm Shirley.
What was that?
I said I'm surely glad we got away with the truck after the boys was nabbed.
Oh, yeah. I'll be back in a sec, doll. I gotta tell the boys to follow us down.
Oh, what do we do now, Shirley? Maisie, or whatever your name is.
Well, you just gotta trust me, Myrtle. I mean, Helen. And play along till I can think of a way out of this mess.
But how are we gonna get out?
I don't know. I've never been in a horrible spot like this. I'm counting on one thing to get us out.
What's that?
Beginner's luck. Shh. Here he comes now.
Okay, chicks, we're all set. Move over, babe. Okay, you can get going now.
Get going?
Yeah, to the hideout. The boys will follow us.
The hideout?
The hideout.
Well, Lefty told you where it is, of course.
Yeah, sure, he told us, but...
Now I know.
You do?
Yeah. After the long haul, you're tired, huh?
Oh, yeah, tired.
Yeah, tired.
Okay, shove over. I'll take a wheel.
Sure. There. I'm really exhausted.
Yeah, sure, I know. It's a long haul to the hideout. You know, I'll bet when you get there, you'll be almost dead.
Well, as long as it's just almost, mister. As long as it's just almost.
Well, this is it, Shirley.
Yeah, I heard a lot about it, Blackie. So this here's your little gray bulletproof home in the West.
This joint does need a woman's touch, Blackie. The wall decorations sort of clash, don't they, Shirley?
Yeah. It's a little out of date, too. They ain't using machine guns and rifles in French provincial anymore.
Yeah, gives the joint sort of cold look.
Mm.
Very cold.
And I don't think much of the painter what did the decor here. He slapped some brown paint in the wallpaper.
Oh, that ain't brown paint, babe. That's just dried blood.
Blood?
Well, while the boys are unloading the truck, how's about you two fellows going into the kitchen and cooking up some grub, huh?
Cooking? But I can't...
Now, don't give me that, babe. Lefty tells me you make hotcakes just like his mother used to make.
Yeah, but you don't know what a lousy cook his mother was.
Yeah. You'll find all the stuff you need in the kitchen. Of course, there ain't much room to move around. I got a couple of them Navy wireless sets in there.
In the kitchen?
Didn't have enough room in the garage for all the swag we swiped.
Wireless sets, huh? Come on, Moira, let's scrub up some grub. Maisie,
you got a gleam in your eye. What's cooking in here besides food?
A way out. Here, help me unwind the wire, this wireless set.
But we can't send messages on that. It's not connected.
Well, if I work fast, it will be. You just keep an eye on the door and keep your fingers crossed. Here's where little Maisie's training in WAC communications pays off.
Gee, were you a WAC?
Yeah. And if I can't get this thing working real fast, I have a sneaking suspicion that both our children will grow up to be orphans. Gosh, Maisie, what if this doesn't work? What if nobody hears our SOS?
Oh, please, Helen, don't talk. Just worry.
If Blackie ever decides to come in here to see how our cooking is coming along, we'll be part of the wallpaper, too.
Hey, Anna, how about the grub?
It won't be long now, Blackie. Yeah, we're flopping them flapjacks.
You mean they ain't ready to eat yet?
They ain't come down from the ceiling yet.
Well, hurry up, will you? Some stuff.
Sure. Oh, dear. You contacted anybody yet, Maisie? Huh? Please?
Well, I can't tell that, honey. All I can do on this thing is stand. I can't receive.
How's about it, Chef? Oh,
just a couple of minutes more. We're also fixing some soup.
Yeah, but you've been at it a half hour already.
I know, but this is turtle soup, and you know how slow turtles are.
Well, I'm going to give you just 5 minutes more, see? Just 5 minutes.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, hello, Jake. You and the boys finish unloading the truck yet?
Yeah, boys, we... Hey, where's the skates?
In the kitchen, Jake. Guess what they're cooking?
A goose.
A goose?
Your goose. Here, read this.
What is this, anyway?
A little message I picked up whilst checking one of them wireless receiving sets we swiped from the warehouse. It's sort of interesting.
Here, let me see that. Kind of thought things was unkosher. You and the boys got the trucks loaded, Jake. We'll be pulling out of here as soon as I take care of some unfinished business.
Check, Chief.
Yeah. Here I come, ladies. Ready or not?
No, don't, Blackie. We're coming out with the grub. Yeah, we're all finished.
You sure are, ladies. You sure are.
Here's the flapjacks, Blackie. The soup should be ready soon. I'll go back in the kitchen and watch it.
I'll go with you, Cheryl. I just love watching soup.
No. Please, ladies, sit down. I don't like to eat alone.
But I'm not hungry.
And I'm on a diet.
Sit down.
Amazing. Got a gum.
Blackie don't like little girls sending messages for help on the wireless.
A gum. All he knows about...
She fainted. Imagine her being scared.
Yeah. Now, why would you like it, babe? And the head or the back?
In the back, I think. I just got a new permanent.
Okay, chick. Anything you'd like to say before I let you have it?
Yeah. Blackie, can I say just one word?
Sure, go ahead.
Help!
Okay, Blackie, drop it.
What? The cops! Huh?
Like we got here sort of in the nick of time, miss. 1 second later, you would have been a dead cookie.
Yeah. Oh!
Nothing to worry about now, miss. We got all the others.
Oh, I didn't scream because of that.
No?
No, my soup. It's burning.
In just a moment, we shall return to the adventures of Maisie. Once again, here's Maisie.
Well, that little caper is over with, and I'm still alive and kicking. And Blackie and the mob, they found out you can't sell government property and get away with it. That is, of course, unless you belong to the government. Yes, sir, the only thing that pays less than crime is television. Well, here I am in San Francisco with 18 cents in my kit. I'll get that dough from Charlie Pilsudski till I get back to Los Angeles. Am I hungry? Guess I'll look around for a nice, clean restaurant and blow the bankroll. Am I worried about tomorrow? Not little Maisie. The way I figure, worry is like rocking in a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but it don't get you no place.
You have just heard The Adventures of Maisie, starring Ann Southern. Maisie is presented by arrangement with Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, producers of East Side, West Side, starring Barbara Stanwyck, James Mason, Van Heflin, and Ava Gardner. Maisie was written by Arthur Phillips. Original music was composed and conducted by Harry Zimmerman. Supporting cast included Bill Conrad, Sidney Miller, Mary Jane Croft, Harry Bartell, Herb Vigran, Ed Max, and Howard McNear. Jack McCoy speaking.
Well, I hope you enjoyed this week's podcast, and we'll be back next week with something different. So join us. Until then, this is Jim Dolan thanking you for listening.